amazing claim that Boris Johnson makes. This time, not coming into the country as Prime Minister, but exiting the country. He just announced his resignation. And on the doors of 10 Downing Street, with all the kind of the media there and live television, he makes more amazing claims. He says, we, referring to the Conservative Party, we have made Britain great. Not referring to Brexit anymore, but to do with COVID. We have delivered the fastest rollout of the vaccine in all of Europe. We have brought lockdown to an end faster than any other country in the world. We have made Britain great, is what Boris Johnson was saying. But if we're honest, we're a bit suspicious, aren't we? When people in high places make those bold statements, we kind of go, really? Really? And we expect to be disappointed. Often the character of the person making the claim doesn't match the statements that they make. But what about Jesus? Jesus made outrageous claims. Boris Johnson might be on that kind of level, but Jesus made claims on that level plus more. And in John's Gospel in particular, he made 7 outrageous claims. And each begins with the words, I am. I am. And to help us learn what they are, he gives us what he calls a sign or a miracle that attaches itself to each claim. Today we had Becky telling us the story, didn't we, of Jesus feeding 5,000 men plus women and children with just a few loaves of bread and fish. It was an amazing provision miracle. And now Jesus is in conversation with a big crowd who followed him across the lake, having had this feeding here. And he now makes that outrageous claim. He says, I am the bread of life. Look at John 6, verse 35, if you will, in your Bible. John chapter 6 and sentence 35. We can see it there. It was our memory verse. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never thirst, and whoever believes in me will never hunger. Jesus is claiming to give us that satisfaction. Just as food satisfies the stomach, so Jesus is saying, I will satisfy your soul. But if we're honest, even as Christians, Jesus isn't normally the first place we look to be satisfied, is it?
Mr. Preacher, where are people looking for satisfaction?
Mr. Preacher, where are people looking for satisfaction?
Yes.
Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
Well, that's a good question. Where are people looking for satisfaction? So why don't you just turn to the person next to you and answer Bethan's question. Where are people looking for satisfaction? Encouraging to hear that discussion. I reckon maybe some people go, actually, a really good meal, that's what satisfies. Those delicious tastes, the flavours that come, the joy, the happiness, the satisfaction it brings. Now you mock, but how many TV programmes have we got to do with food? Those are too many. No, that's enough of that. There's a whole channel from there dedicated to food, and there's umpteen TV chefs, umpteen recipe books. Food seems to dominate what we think brings satisfaction. And this crowd who just had this miracle, had their stomachs filled, well, they've travelled overnight around a lake to find Jesus again. just to get more food. They think food will bring lasting satisfaction. Look, if you will, at chapter 6 again, in verse 25 and 26. When they, that's the crowd who were fed the day before, when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." You say, you're not interested really in who I am, just in the food that I can give you. You just want your stomachs filled. That's where you're looking for satisfaction. But the problem is, however many preservatives you pump into your food, sooner or later, it's going to rot, it's going to shrivel, it's going to grow mold. It's not going to give you that lasting satisfaction. Which is why look at verse 27, just the first part of it there. Look at the command Jesus gives. Don't work for food that perishes, because it won't give you that lasting satisfaction. And what Jesus says about food, we can expand into all things, you might say. Stuff, material things that I can hold. Don't think that a book or a phone or any of your favourite possessions will give you that lasting satisfaction. Jesus says, don't work for food that
won't last, that won't bring the satisfaction. And Jesus keeps needing to repeat it. And we as Christians keep needing to hear verse 27a, don't we? Don't work for food that spoils. Because constantly we chase after these material things, thinking they'll give us the satisfaction. I grew up until about the age of 11 when I saw the light as a Spurs fan. I've confessed since. And at 10 years old, I got my first ever Spurs kit. You know, not the cheap imitation from the Hitchin market, but, you know, the real McCoy from the Spurs catalogue. The shirt, which had, you know, Holston written across, made by Hummel, and the wonderful logo. The shorts and the socks. I was so excited. £15 that cost me. Don't get much for that these days. I think that gets you the socks. And I was really happy. I was satisfied. I got the Spurs kit, the current one. About 3 months later, in the post arrived the new Spurs catalogue from the Spurs shop. And I looked, and they had a new shirt, and new shorts, and new socks. And it was £30. Oh, I wanted it. I wasn't satisfied anymore with the shirt and the socks and the shorts that I had. I wanted the new one. And if we're honest, we're all like that, even grown-ups, aren't we? We keep wanting the latest thing. We keep falling for the fact that Apple bring out the latest iPhone, and we keep wanting a new one. So we constantly need to hear Jesus' words, don't we? Look at verse 27 again. Have you got it in your head yet? Don't work for food that spoils. But Jesus, like a great doctor, doesn't just tell us the problem, he gives us a solution. A bit louder. What is Jesus' solution? That's a great question. What a great question. What is Jesus' solution? There you go, you've been asked another question. Why don't you talk for 1 minute with the person next to you? Okay, there you go, good discussion again. What's Jesus' solution? Well, it's the next part of the verse, isn't it? Work for food that endures to eternal life. Don't go for stuff that spoils. Work for stuff that lasts to eternal life. And then Jesus in verse 35 tells us more what that food is. This is food that's come from heaven. This isn't food that's found on earth. Actually, it's not even a food. It's a person. Look at Jesus' words, verse 35. I am the bread of life. If we want to be satisfied forever, not just for a short while, we need to believe that Jesus is the one who provides it. That's what he's saying. Just like food will satisfy your stomach for a short time, Jesus is saying on an infinite level, I will satisfy your soul, your innermost parts, your deepest desires. I will satisfy forever. Think for a moment of your favourite food. I wonder what that is. Try and get a picture of that in your head. And imagine that you're enjoying eating that now. And my guess is you've got feelings of joy, of contentment, of happiness, nice flavours perhaps going around your mouth. But then it's going to fall away, isn't it? You know, the food ends at some point. Or you get full. You don't want any more. But what Jesus is saying, if you trust in me, if you put your trust that I can provide you with those, with your deepest longings, those things I'm going to multiply by infinite levels, and you'll have them forever. That deep satisfaction, that deep joy, Jesus is promising to every single person who puts their trust in him. You're not convinced. You're not convinced. How can Jesus be so sure? That's another really good question. Can Jesus deliver on his promises? You see, we're used to human leaders disappointing us, aren't we? You know, let's go back to Boris Johnson. In between his opening speech about making Britain great and his closing speech, we had the Partygate scandal. You know, we all know about COVID lockdown, except it seems for our Prime Minister. Who's above the rules? Human people let us down. Or Donald Trump, you know, he made great claims to build a wall to keep the Mexicans out. Well, didn't happen. So is Jesus just like another human leader who's set to disappoint us? Well, he won't. Although, the crowd who'd just been fed thought that he would. They weren't convinced at all by his claim. Look at verse 42. John chapter 6, verse 41 and 42. They grumbled about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say I've come down from heaven? Do you hear them? Jesus, you're talking nonsense. Jesus, you can't deliver on your promises. Jesus, you're just a carpenter, son, get over it. But Jesus is not just the carpenter's son, is he? Jesus is the sent one from heaven. Look at 41, verse 41 again. He is the bread that's come from heaven. Or verse 38. I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And John, if you, you know, we'd probably jump up and down and shout it all around these days to make our point. John just repeats it time and time again. He says, Jesus, he's the bread from heaven. Jesus, he's the sent one from heaven. Jesus, he's the bread. Jesus, he's the sent one. The reason that Jesus will deliver on his promises, the reason he will satisfy us forever, is because he is God. And he has come from the Father in heaven as the sent Son to give us that satisfaction that we so crave. Jesus knows what really satisfies us and delivers it. How do I get this lasting satisfaction? Oh, you guys have got some great questions at the back. What must I do to get this satisfaction? Well, look at verse 29. Jesus said, this is the work of God, this is how you get the satisfaction, that you believe in him who was sent. Who has been sent? Jesus. So we can have this satisfaction by believing that Jesus has come from heaven to satisfy us. It's that straightforward. We might call it faith. And elsewhere in the Bible we're told that faith is being certain of what we do not see. It's leaning on the reliability of Jesus to deliver on his goods, on his promises. Bethan, come up a second. This is what faith is. Come on. Do you trust me? Do you trust me to catch you, Bethan?
Depends.
It depends. Okay, let's go. There we go. See? You had nothing to fear, did you? Off you go. It doesn't depend on the amount of faith Bethan has, does it? She's quite unconfident, but it depends upon the reliability of the one catching. Or in this case, it's the reliability of Jesus who's making the promises. We've seen he's not just an ordinary human. He's the sent one from heaven who will deliver on his promises. We can trust Jesus to deliver us and give us this satisfaction. If you really believe this, what difference will it make? Great question. Great question. Two things. First of all, we'll believe, verse 35. We'll believe that Jesus will deliver on his promises. We'll put our trust in him, the bread of life. And we'll have an increasing trust in Jesus. And we'll increasingly experience the reliability of Jesus to give us that satisfaction. So if we're already Christians and we go through our lives, we should be more content than we were when we first became a Christian. We should be more satisfied in Jesus. And we should continue looking to him to be satisfied. And we'll continue to stop chasing after the things that don't satisfy. And then secondly, we'll have a deep assurance that Jesus will satisfy forever. Look at verse 39. This is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he's given me, but raise it up on the last day. Death is the ultimate test of satisfaction, isn't it? In the face of death, Jesus, what do you offer me? And he's saying, I'll raise you up if you believe in me. I will give you that eternal life, that joy-filled life that is going to last forever. That's the difference Jesus makes. And it all comes back to that great claim that he makes. I am the bread of life. So we're finished. Let's just take a moment to reflect. And here's the question I want you to reflect on. Have you found lasting satisfaction in Jesus? Have you found the satisfaction that only Jesus can offer? Just pause for a moment and reflect, and then Thomas will come back up.